Welcome to Faith on a Field Show, presented by Cairn University. Rob Motti, Pastor Kyle Horner, Doug Horton, and Remy Motti. I hope everyone had a fantastic Easter celebrating the resurrection of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We certainly enjoyed ours. It was a beautiful service at the Connect Church in Cherry Hill.
It was so good.
Pastor Kyle was up there. He was bringing the word, and we went to my parents afterward for a feast. I don't do the ham. My mom didn't. She knows I don't. So it was turkey, roast beef, and spaghetti and meatballs.
Yeah. I got to give a shout out to my wife. She cooked a ham this weekend with her sister.
Yes.
Did a phenomenal job.
Come on,
it was a great ham. So her mom passed away about a year and a half ago, right? So this was like the first Easter where she really attacked it, and she did a great job. So major shout out to my wife, Chris.
Come on, that's fantastic.
Chris.
Love that.
Still eating that ham, man.
So yeah. We had ham and lamb. Whoa.
Oh, hallelujah.
And they were so good.
That's good.
Everybody in my family eats the lamb except
so
me.
So good.
Did I ever tell my story on air?
No.
You told us last week.
I'll tell it now. The only reason I don't eat lamb is because when I was 3 and a half, the only time my mom took me back to the Holy Land when I was a kid, and we were at her parents, and I saw my mom's dad, my grandfather on my mother's side. We're out in the field, and he slaughtered this little lamb. Next thing I know, we're eating. And one of my older cousins, I got 53 first cousins. I don't know which one told me. He's like, by the way, that's what your grandfather killed out there. I've never had lamb ever since then.
I can understand that.
Or so I think.
By the way, Lainey told that story, not the whole story, but she told one of the little kids that my dad has 53 cousins, and the little kid's face was hysterical. I was like, the poor kid is like shocked. He was like, what?
Well, you can actually, like, do I eat lamb or not?
Well, you did eat lamb.
Not knowing.
Not aware of it.
Still a good story, man.
Part of the times where she sneaks the food in there, and I don't know what I'm having.
Trying to make you
but I still haven't had salad dressing, right? I haven't had salad dressing.
No, because I don't do salad dressing.
Okay, so whatever you put on there is like a lemon.
Just lemon juice, orange juice, and peppers. That's it.
All right, so I officially haven't had salad dressing unless that...
But condiments, you've had those.
Yeah, you've had mustard.
So, yeah, that used to be a big thing.
I didn't have mustard.
You had mustard on chicken.
You marinated chicken in there. That doesn't count.
It still counts.
Guys,
it's mustard. Mustard does count.
She marinated the chicken in mustard.
I only have one question. What do you put on a hot dog?
I don't eat hot dogs.
Oh, we don't eat hot dogs.
What's wrong with you, man? I go to a baseball game, and I have a hot dog.
Not to call out my fellow scribes, but like once homestand, I believe the Phillies have after the press dinner, and then later on in the fifth or sixth inning, they do have free hot dogs in the press dining room. They go quick. I don't consume any, but
I can imagine they go quick.
Free food.
Free food.
Media, they go quick.
Listen, why do you think Dollar Dog Night's always a sellout? Right?
Absolutely.
I mean, you do Dollar Dog Night, it is packed.
It's fantastic.
Right?
I want to know this, right? What do they cost? And like, I'm at the games, but I never really know what prices are. What do they call? What's an actual
$3.50
hot dog?
Probably.
Like $3.35, $4, something like that.
That's actually not terrible.
Not for one.
At a game.
Yeah, for one.
At a game.
But then they have dollar dogs.
Soda.
Yeah.
I have bought, like, I'd get hungry in the fifth or sixth inning and go out and get something from the super pretzel. I believe it's like
$6.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
It's worth it, though.
It's yummy.
Yeah. Well,
you get a big bag. You can get a big bag of those peanuts, though. Did you just hear that they're not going to sell Cracker Jacks anymore in many major league stadiums because peanut allergies?
Oh, come on.
Yeah, no, seriously. Take me out to the ball game without Cracker Jacks.
I thought there was a politically correct reason for that.
That's it.
Okay,
we could talk about
that.
How do you change a song? You got to change a song.
I don't know. I'm with you.
Buy me some peanuts and hazelnuts. I do take a bag of hazelnuts. All right, our guest this week is former Denver Broncos wide receiver Vance Johnson is going to be on. He's got a powerful story coming up, and we're going to hear from Vance Johnson. We talked about last week on the previous episode the significance of Christ's resurrection and explained that Jesus died so we can be truly alive, so that we can be set free. So we're going to discuss what's next. What happens next when you accept Christ, when you commit to Him, when you surrender it all to Him? How is it that we become a new person? Because a lot of times, like, we go out and we say that, and I say this at speaking engagements, like, I become a new person, but to change the patterns of behavior, how do we do that? How do we change our thought processes? How do we change our feelings, our actions and reactions that for years and years we have been used to, we've been accustomed to? And I got to tell you, like, this, it's not an easy thing to do. And we can't do it on our own. Paul says in Romans 12:2, and I've said this before on this show, this is one of my favorite Bible verses, one of the more challenging ones, and one that I pray about every day, literally every day, at least once during the course of my 9,000 hours of prayer. Like, it comes out, and the Bible verse, Romans 12:2, says, "Do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will." If we accept Christ as our Savior, but nothing changes, and we're still stuck in our old way of living and thinking, we're not really making progress. See, we must seek to transform our mind so the old us dies, like, completely dies, is dead and buried. And we have to let God transform us into a new person by changing the way we think. And only when the Holy Spirit renews and redirects our mind are we really going to be truly transformed. And this is a challenge, and it's a struggle daily. And I know it's not just for me. I know it is for many others. How can we go about that, Pastor Kyle?
It's such a great question. We all struggle with it, don't we? Because we all have a life, like Paul says, that we want to live. Yeah. That's over here. And then yet one that we many times struggle with in our daily walks. How do we live that thing out? And, you know, I think sometimes when we think about sin, we always think about it being an action. But every action begins with a thought. And that's why Paul starts here. Yeah. So, you know, our feelings affect our thoughts. Our circumstances affect our thoughts. But our thoughts really are the driving force behind everything that we do. And so that's why Paul's getting back to this and saying, hey, everything's got to start with the way that we think about life, ourselves, yeah, think about God, think about our how we respond. And so, you know, I think there's two things that happen so often in our lives as people of faith is there's stumbling blocks along the way. The process of transformation happens when first we get information and then there's transformation that happens. But so often we stop with information because once we know the information, we think we've got it. Oh, I can't tell you how many times that, you know, I've preached the message or taught on something, and then people go, oh, no, I got it. And I look at their life and I go, no, you don't, right?
Yes.
But in their mind, yes, they think they got it, yes, because they understand something differently. But there's a process between understanding something differently, information, and then allowing the Holy Spirit through meditation on the Word and actually getting back to what Paul says right before that in Romans 12:1, laying your life down, making a living sacrifice, daily coming down and saying, it's not my will, Father, it's your will. Mm-hmm. That's our participation and really allowing what Joshua says in Joshua 1:9, meditate on the Word day and night, right? And when you meditate on the Word day and night, then everything you do will prosper.
Yeah. Yeah.
So you have to allow this thing to marinate in you, just move from information to transformation. Because, my Grammy used to say, you know, you can't help who knocks on your door, but you can help who you entertain in your living room, right? I can't help what thought I have, right? We all have thoughts. It's
right.
Okay. And that's why I can't believe I had that thought. The thought doesn't make you bad. Yeah. The entertaining of that thought and then allowing that to actually determine how you respond, that's actually what makes brings devastation into our life.
You can understand it, but do you apply it?
Yeah. Correct.
You know, it's the application of what you're understanding. But the thought is, when Jesus says the thought of adultery is adultery,
yes,
that's a scary thought.
That's a scary
to me,
thought.
That's like, you guys, like you especially, my wife is sitting right across from me and laughs at me when I refuse to acknowledge any other woman is attractive. And I say, because of, and you don't get it. And I'm like, it's just a thought. It's it, like, I don't
no,
even want
to. I don't want to look at women saying they're attractive. Hold on.
I need a little more of this.
You do sometimes, like, you do sometimes give me grief when, and like, I don't know, someone's obvious. Attractive, and you're like, you could say it, and I'm like, no, I don't want to say it.
No, listen, not grief. It's more like, hey, I think she's cute, and you go, I don't know. I'm like, no, she is. Like, just say it.
I don't want to say it. See, I don't want
to
say it.
You have to be like, no. Like,
I'm off the hook here because the thought process.
I like that. Okay, she's cool. Let's move on. You know what I mean?
Draw the line. Don't cross it.
Yeah. Right?
It's like, don't ever draw.
If you think so, that's great. That's awesome. I'm moving on. I'm not acknowledging what your thought is of that particular person. However, I do say I'm confident enough in my masculinity to say a guy's an attractive. Like,
yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, he's got great hair. Or we just had that conversation.
So should I reply with "I don't know," or should I say, "Yeah, he looks good"?
Well, I mean,
it's fine.
I mean, that's between you and your conscience. You know, I mean, if you want to reciprocate the respect that I have for you and not acknowledge another man,
I say it in front of you. You know what I mean? I say it in front of you, so it's cool. It's cool. I think it's cool.
You think so?
I think it's cool. That's fine.
Hey, that's on you. But you know, we had this conversation with Tom Brady and Jimmy Garoppolo one time on my sports show. I was like, you know what? Who's the better looking quarterback?
I don't know.
When people say an athlete looks good, right? Like someone that in sports looks good, and everybody agrees. How is that okay? And a normal person cannot be good looking. Like they're human. They're all human.
Honestly, like, I do have a problem with it. I have a problem when anyone in a relationship or especially married is overtly going like, you know. You see this on social all the time. They're posting like some attractive actor or some attractive girl, and like, oh, I can't wait to go see. I personally hate that. You know, that's,
yeah. I think it's
disrespectful.
I think the interesting issue is what you guys are really wrestling with is. I think
this
that
is
there's one thing
right
be able.
Now,
I know, right? Exactly. I didn't
this
know we're doing marriage counseling
down.
In here, but it's fine. It's fantastic. I signed up for that.
Go ahead.
I do think it's wonderful. I think that it's okay on one side. In a generality, to be able to recognize the beauty of what God created, and that's it. Being able to say, "Hey, look, I see something that God created, and I recognize it as being beautiful." But Rob, I want to just I'm going to champion what you said as well. Every individual needs to know their own heart. So the Word of God says, don't give the devil a foothold, right? Don't even give him a crack. Mm-hmm. So look, some of us struggle with various things. Mm-hmm. And if in your life you have struggled with lust or struggled with things that would give that enemy a crack, I think drawing a solid line that says, you know what? I know myself. I can't even go to that place.
Okay, I love that point.
Where
that's
I go.
Awesome.
You see what I'm saying?
Okay,
so
yes.
It's not telling Remy she's wrong, and it's not telling you you're wrong.
No, you're right.
I do think it's being able to say, I need to steward my own life. I need to steward my own testimony. And in that, I just can't even give, and I know myself.
That's
if
where
I
I'm
going
yeah,
there.
That's where I'm coming from, like knowing my history, knowing. And that's where I'm like, hey, I draw the line.
No, I get it. And I think that's why I say, you never say it, but I be like, oh, she's cute. By the way, I don't say that all day long or anything. It takes like a really gorgeous woman for me to be like, hey, she's pretty. You know what I mean? Like,
I actually don't. It shows that, you know, you can
I'm confident
appreciate
like
someone.
Who I am.
I do think, though, posting about someone else's wife or husband.
That's weird. That's just weird.
May stretch some of the boundaries of some of the stuff we're talking about. I know it makes me uncomfortable when someone else posts about someone else's spouse. We all have friends that are married, and it's one thing to like. It's one thing to like something that someone posted. Yeah. It's another thing to kind of post a picture about someone else's spouse and say,
and that's essentially like who these people like. Yeah. You know,
again, that's
an athlete,
that's
an entertainer.
Yeah,
they are someone else's spouse. They are.
Yeah, they
correct.
Are
that's
human.
What
they're not like,
but yep. like talking about the renewal of the mind.
Yeah.
What we're talking about here is like changing the way we think, changing the way. For me, that was part of the process as I tried to kill the old me and bury the old me.
Yeah.
I was like, part of burying the old me is not complimenting women.
You're
is
right.
not going out and saying on
I
a talk
I'm
show.
I'm not saying that again. Yeah. Let me tell you that. I'm not saying that again. You're done.
This
we're shutting
this
one
down.
Right
there.
I'm
but
the only
for
woman.
Me, that's part of the renewal of my mind.
That's
and
right.
the changing of the way I think.
Good, Rob.
So I may have conquered one thing, but there are so many others in my life. Like it's very hard to conquer the judgmental aspect of like, hey, we're having a conversation. So-and-so is going to do this. And oh, he's going to speak. Oh, is he a Christian? I don't know. He doesn't seem like it when he lives his life.
Right.
Well, I don't want. It's hard to take that out.
Yeah.
And it's hard to take that part of the thought process out. And that's why I say it's like a constant challenge for me. Like I'm always praying, like, I want to change the way I always think about things, the thought process, so I don't have those feelings. So I don't have those feelings. And they're going to happen. We're all human. Yeah. We're all going
to
fail.
Well, there has to be a game plan, too, right? There has to be a practical approach to what we're doing. You can't just say, I'm going to think good thoughts. Yeah. Right? Like, yes, if right. I just want to do
yeah,
that, and I'm going to renew
way.
My mind, and, yeah. and I can still participate in these actions. I can still talk about another woman or look another woman or like another
yes.
you know, man's wife on Facebook, you know, yeah. in that situation. But those are practical things that aren't going to allow you to change your mind.
Yes.
Yeah. Right? And yeah. so whatever you're struggling
with, they
can
with, become stumbling blocks.
Yeah, and you just set up these parameters that say, I'm not going to cross these, and that will help you
right.
to renew your mind.
I just want to tell the listeners that this all started because I told my husband his hair looks great today before the show. I just want to let you know this is how we got here, okay?
It's true.
It really looks good today, you guys.
Thanks.
It looks really good.
I appreciate that.
So
great, man.
This is how we got here, but, you know, continue. Go ahead. Yes.
I think what you just said, Doug, is right, and I think the thing that we have to look at is it's not just the process of that we want to renew our mind.
Mm-hmm.
It's into what?
Yeah.
So, you know, holidays just passed, and my wife and I love to make. I love to bake. I love to cook. I love food.
Wait, slow down.
Yeah, let's pause for a second.
You love to bake?
I know.
I love to bake. I love to cook.
Yeah.
I love to cook.
You cooking. Cook and bake?
Like cookies, cakes, and pastries?
Well,
he did make
brownies.
I
have to say.
I do actually have to say.
Maybe. I don't know, but this is kind of new to all
yes,
of us.
Didn't you bring in
brownies one time?
I'm a pretty good cook,
what?
He brought in, I think, Ryan took them all.
Yeah.
Our producer Ryan took
true.
All the brownies.
Yeah,
there hasn't been enough sharing here, though.
There has not. I agree. I'm not anything like Remy, but I will tell you, I know my way around the kitchen. And I enjoy it. That's kind of a release for me. But in holiday times, like, we like to bake cookies sometimes. And I love that process, right? It's so much fun. You roll out, you make the dough, you roll out the dough. And then you don't want to just have a regular cookie. You want to have, you take the, you know, the snowman cookie or the Easter bunny form, and you press it into the dough.
I'm sending my kids to him
right?
on Christmas.
That's
yeah.
what's so much
I
fun.
Don't know.
But the truth is, there's nothing wrong with the dough that you make.
Yeah.
The dough is our mind.
Yes.
And it's the form that we use to form it. You know, what do we want to form it into? Is it the Easter bunny? Is it the snowman? Is it, you know, the present,
yeah.
whatever that looks like? And that's the thing that's challenging for us, because that's where the Word of God has to shape the form on which
yeah.
we are trying to reform our mind on. That is the cookie cutter. Because if not, it's just our opinion, the things that we like or don't like. And that's why in the beginning of this, he says, don't conform to the world. But that word world actually is the concept of this age.
Yeah.
It's the same word he uses when he talks about the devil is the god of this age.
Right.
So he's talking about don't allow your mind to be conformed by the system,
mm-hmm.
by the generational thought process around you.
Mm-hmm.
You have to allow your mind to be conformed, cookie cutter, to
yeah.
the form of Jesus Christ, which comes through his word.
Y'all know, like, how there's a game called Pac-Man, like, when you were
love
little.
Pac-Man.
Pac-Man.
Right?
It's fantastic.
Yeah, my college students don't know Pac-Man, though.
My kids discovered it in Florida.
So in Florida, the place we rented from, the owner had a Pac-Man game
downstairs.
So we played Pac-Man, and it brought so many memories. And
absolutely.
Like, oh, my gosh, they used to play Pac-Man. So you know how Pac-Man, you always get eaten by this little
creature.
It's like, no matter what you do.
The ghosts.
I always get eaten by the thing, whatever, that creature. So it got me thinking, like, when we were thinking about the show.
It's awesome.
I always think about the weirdest things. But anyways, I'm thinking about the show, and I'm just like, you know how we never know how to do that, how to eat the little monster? Because we don't know the code to this game.
We
have no idea what the code is to this game.
Yep.
So we don't know how to crack the code.
Yep.
And to me, that's how God designed us. He designed us with a specific code that no one can crack this code but him.
Yes.
It's either him or nothing. We cannot crack the code. And therefore, we have to walk with him, seek him, worship him, meditate with him to know the code, to understand what the code is.
That's what the word says. Absolutely.
Yeah. And you know, another thing I wanted to add to that is I've been reading this book that it's so good. And it got me to think back about Genesis and all the way from the beginning of times when God said, let there be light.
Yes.
And this one sentence has been on my mind for a long time. And you guys, it's so amazing. When he said, let there be light, it wasn't about the sun and the moon and the stars.
That's right.
It
they
was about his
yet.
Light.
That's right.
It's about him infusing himself in everything around and anything that he created. He infused himself first.
Yeah.
Let there be light. That's the code right there. That's the code that he put in everything around us, in
that's
us, in everything.
That's right.
Yeah. That's the code. And if we crack that code, which is to get to know him, to infuse ourselves with him. That right there is the code to this life.
Yeah, God's a revealer of himself, not a concealer of himself. Yeah.
Yeah, it's just so amazing. And I know this is very deep to get from Pac-Man game, but you guys
well, you could apply Fortnite or nowadays. You went Pac-Man. No,
because it's the only game I've ever played
but
in my
I love
life.
Pac-Man.
Everybody's
actually, it's actually so relevant, Remy, to be honest, because the thing that kills Pac-Man is the ghosts.
Yeah.
And the thing that kills our minds so often of walking out things with life is the ghost of our past, the ghost of our failure, the ghost of or shame.
Thank
They're
you.
The things that come in, and that's why we need the light of God, because our mind always wants to go back into the darkness. It always wants to go back into the into the shadow. We have inside of us this draw, this magnet that wants to draw us back out of the light into the shadow so that our mind, our will, and our emotions can control what we do, right?
Yeah.
So
we want
to control our own life. That's the reality.
Mm-hmm.
So we want to say it's God, but we want to make our own decisions. Jesus is Lord, but until, unless, all right, all those things. And that's why the light of God, what's done in the shadow, God says, I'll make known in the light.
Yeah.
He has to draw us in the light. That's why the word of God is the only thing.
Amen. I love it.
This renewal of our mind, I feel like it's something that you have to continue to seek. It's not like you ask for it and you're done. Okay, I asked. I didn't. No, it's because it is so easy to get caught up in the world.
Correct.
It is so easy to get caught up in this age. And even if we think that, okay, well, I don't conform to worldly behavior, it doesn't make us truly transformed. Because many people may avoid worldly behavior and worldly patterns and live a good moral life, but it doesn't make them a new creation in Christ. Because it's not about, like, when you ask for the renewal of your mind and you seek that, it's not about, okay, I'm going to start now following a new set of laws.
Right.
Or I'm going to go from worldly, the worldly morals of fame, wealth, glory, status, and accumulation to, I'm going to go to good morals. But just following that, it doesn't mean that you have become this new person. And I think, like, true transformation is replacing our own sinful desires with the fruits of, this goes back to what we talked about a couple of weeks ago, the fruits of the Holy Spirit. That's true transformation. That's when you replace what our own selfish flesh wants with the fruits of the Spirit. And and I love this verse Paul has in Galatians 5, 19 to 22. And like this just lays it all out there. When you follow the desires of your sinful nature, the results are very clear. Sexual immorality, impurity, lustful pleasures, idolatry, sorcery, hostility, quarreling, jealousy, outbursts of anger, selfish ambition, dissension, division, envy, drunkenness, wild parties. I had to find the NLT because I didn't like what NIV used for wild parties. And other sins like these. Let me tell you again, as I have before, this is Paul speaking in Galatians, that anyone living that sort of life will not inherit the kingdom of God. But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness. So acting out of duty-driven Christianity. And we've discussed this often when we say, I feel a duty, I feel an obligation. And acting out of duty-driven Christianity, that doesn't really make us free. We are truly set free when we do what we should, not because we ought to do it, but because from the inside we love to do it. I want to say that again because we struggle with this oftentimes. We are truly set free when we do what we should, not because we ought to do it, but because from the inside, the renewal of our mind, the renewal of our old ways and the death of that to the changing of the way we think, because now from the inside, we love to do it. And that is the constant goal that I'm striving for as a Christian, as I'm seeking the renewal of my mind.
Yeah, now look, the word of God says knowledge build knowledge puffs up, but love builds up. And so it's that I think for me, Rob, is those two things we talked about in the beginning. The information is a good foundational stepping stone, but if we're not careful, it'll puff up our sense of self-righteousness. It'll puff That's up right. our sense yeah. of of our Christian walk. And yet the deeper aspect of that is the transformation comes not when we follow the word out of simple obedience, but when we follow the word out of passion. Transformation is the transformation of the heart that says, I'm not going to those stores or those sites any longer because they're simply wrong. Mm-hmm. I don't have a desire to go to those stores any longer because what I love is different. And I do think one of the things that we struggle with the most many times as men and women of faith is we never change our spiritual taste buds. You know, we know something, you know, Remy and I, we were like just talking about food beforehand, but like, you know, what we eat, right? Yeah. And many people know that what they eat, hot dogs, aren't great for them, right? So what do? We throw the ketchup and the mayo and the relish and the onions on top, right, to make it taste better, rather than actually changing our taste buds for something that shouldn't taste well to us.
Yeah.
Mm. So in spirituality, we do the same thing. We go, man, this thing isn't right. So we add all these other things around it on top of it for it to be more palatable in our life. Mm. Rather than being able to say, no, I'm gonna lose my taste for looking at those women. I'm gonna lose my taste for going to that site. I'm gonna lose my taste for gossiping. I'm gonna lose my taste. So it's not just not doing it because it's wrong. It's man, I'm gonna lose my taste for it because you know, as a man thinks in his heart. Mm-hmm. So is he. So from the passions of my heart, the Bible says, guard your heart because out of it come all the decisions of your life.
Right.
So we have to, it's fine to have information as long as that information allows us to meditate on the word long enough and allow the spirit inside of us to change the passions from obedience to out of obligation to out of passion.
You know, same with your hot dog analogy. Sometimes we just choose that because it's a dollar.
Correct. It's easy to do. That's right.
And it doesn't take any effort. Right. And so it's easy to eat a dollar hot dog than it is to go get a salad at maybe $7-$8 you know, that you have to pay a little bit more for.
It takes a little bit more work. To eat healthy.
You got that right. Go to Whole Foods. You got that right.
Ask for that grilled chicken on there, and now they're adding an extra $9 and everything.
Welcome back
to
Fitz on the Field Show, presented by Karen University. Rob Motti, Pastor Kyle, Doug, and Remy. If you missed any of
I was really struggling with worry a couple weeks ago.
Doug will tell you how to catch up.
About the future, place to go, faithfromthefieldshow.com. All of our episodes, Rob's weekly blogs on there. Make sure you follow us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
I need to have all of our updates.
My life
and
in God's
subscribe
hands.
To our email where you'll get.
But when
our
I really started to pray about it,
right
I really started to turn it over
that.
To Christ. And I really started to read
right
and the passage Philippians
the
4 came.
Vander Holyfield,
guys, and it came to me in
Alabama,
multiple ways
youngest,
too. So
nine,
I was praying that God
nine
would
nine children,
mind,
his family
not,
moved
not
to Atlanta.
And then
again, they
sources.
In a housing project.
What about Philippians 4? What about Philippians 4? And I started reading Philippians 4. And I'll tell you, I had a really cool thought the other day.
I
haven't worried
when he graduated
about that.
Wow, I love that. That's it. That's it.
Thank God we talk
about
wow.
two and a half.
Yeah. Wow.
Wait, that
yeah.
happened?
Yeah. Finish high school at 5'8", right? And then
he,
by 2021 years old,
there had to be a process
he ends
to go
up being
through.
6 foot,
it was
two and a half.
Scripture.
Evander is the only
four-time
world heavyweight champion.
Other people about it, too, so I can actually have some support, accountability from friends. So when you're struggling with something, right, to have brothers or sisters that are going to come alongside of you and help you set some guidelines that you may think,
it's okay if I say that is brought to you by the King's Christian School
for
Adults in
1946. Right, like if you struggle with this, with Christian then it's
parents,
not okay for you to do that.
School,
right, and so it says in Philippians 4:9, what you've learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice
Hill,
these
Jersey,
things,
has
and the God of peace will be with you. I think a lot of times we don't really practice it. We think it's a good idea. I know it. I know what I'm trying to do. But I don't put it into practice.
For the 2019-2020, visit their website at
tkcs.org
for more information.
You can't just say it's part of my interview.
Not a game.
Practice. We're talking about practice.
We're talking.
Well, what good would it be? Remember, you were talking about cracking the code, right? Yeah. You're playing this video game. Mm-hmm. What good would it be to be playing a video game to get the code and not use it?
And not use it,
Like you'd be stuck on that level forever, right? And too many times we're playing this game. And we have the code, we have the scripture, we have the Holy Spirit.
And we're not using it.
And we're like, and I'm just going to stay on level 3.
Right.
Dude, I play to win.
Right.
My wife yells at me all the time. She's like, yeah, but you know all the codes. I'm like, I play to win. What then?
Now you're like Herm Edwards. We got to get that drop in
there
here.
Is
I play
the,
to
there
win
is
the game.
That's what I'm trying to say. There is no reason to play if I'm not going to play to win.
You play to win the game. Up next, we're going to hear from Vance Johnson. This is Faith on a Field Show, presented by Karen University.
Karen University is a biblical university located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Center City, Philadelphia. With NCAA Division III athletics, a strong commitment to the arts, and majors in over 40 professional and academic fields, Karen prepares students to serve Christ as biblically minded, well-educated, and professionally competent men and women of character. Learn more at karen.edu.
Welcome back to Faith on the Field Show, presented by Karen University, Rob Motti, Pastor Kyle, Doug, and Remy. If you missed any of our previous episodes, Doug will tell you how to catch up.
Hey, you got to check out faithonthefieldshow.com. All of our episodes are on there. You can get Rob's weekly blog, see our sponsors that are on there. Make sure you subscribe to our email list. You'll get our episode and our blog delivered right to your inbox. And make sure you follow us on social media, share it out, and leave us a review on iTunes, and help people learn more about the show.
Also, a lot of people have been asking me about speaking appearances. We do post those on our social media along with my social media. So if you want to come out and hear me share a message, make sure you follow, and we'll let you know when and where I'm going to be. I recently spoke to a men's group at your old church, right? Storehouse Church, Pastor J.R. Rushick, Matt Lindenmuth, everyone there. They were so welcoming and encouraging. You know, a lot of times I go there and I deliver a message, and the guys are so receptive and appreciative. But then their words back to me help me in that moment, because sometimes I feel like, why am I doing this today? Yeah. You know, why am I getting up at like a ridiculous hour, and I got to go here, and I got to go do this, and I got this. Like, why am I? And then they're so receptive and so encouraging. Like, I recognize, like, no, I was meant. I had to do this today. Like, this is what it's all about. And I really appreciate, because it goes both ways sometimes. And I had the honor of delivering the message on Friday at the Greater South Jersey Annual Good Friday Men's Breakfast. Another great group of guys. Pastor Sam Mountain, Jason Ramirez, everyone there was really awesome. I'll be at First Presbyterian Church of Blackwood on Saturday morning, May 4th. It'll be my second time speaking there. So I want to thank Pastor Maurice Youssef for the invitation. Pastor Maurice married Remy and I.
Oh, really?
When like 1,900 churches wouldn't marry me, and like we were going from church to church looking for someone. Yeah, Pastor Maurice was like, I will marry you guys.
So
and yeah, so we're looking forward to that. And also coming up on April 30th, Kyle, the AO1 Foundation, Carson Wentz, and in connection with the Connect Churches Thy Kingdom Crumb food truck, you guys have the first Philly Gala. Let everybody know about that.
Yeah, it's exciting. On April 30th, we have the AO1 Gala. The tickets are still available. They are limited.
Okay.
And if you want to come on out, take pictures with cars. You're going to hear some great stories. People's lives have been utterly changed. And to be a part of really leaving a legacy and building a legacy in this city, because that's where so much of AO1 is pouring out funds and resources to. You can go check out AO1Foundation.org for tickets, find out all about it, and really encourage everybody to come out. You know, the food truck has been amazing. We, you know, two weeks ago when it was out right before Easter, we saw 75 people make first time decisions for Jesus Christ on the sidewalk, just there. And hundreds and hundreds get fed every time we're out. So yeah, it's a great thing to be a part of.
And by the way, the food at this event is going to be phenomenal. I have gone to weddings that were catered by Sescafe.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Everyone leaves those wedding receptions or whatever event that they have raving about the food.
Yeah. And the location is beautiful. The venue is gorgeous. There's a ton of silent auction items, live auction items that are amazing. So, I mean, it'll be from anyone who can, you know, from very little amounts of money to very large amounts of money, you'll be able to get something and that's meaningful.
What's very so cool, is like what the support that you receive, the AO1 Foundation, Thy Kingdom Come, the support that they're receiving from people allows you to give back to so many more people and to give more and more and more. So really looking forward to that and can't wait for that event, April 30th on Tuesday night. Coming up, we're going to hear from Vance Johnson. He was a local guy here in Philly, born in Trenton, New Jersey. And I want to let everybody know, but before we get into this interview, Vance's story to me was one of those where I heard it, I had to go back and hear it again. Mm-hmm. I had to go back and watch more, because it was just so powerful.
It's compelling.
And it really was. And I was like, Man, we're talking about cracking the code here. Mm-hmm. Vance could not crack that code. Mm-hmm. He tried every possible way, and he couldn't crack it on his own until he found Christ. And now he currently lives in the Philly suburbs, and he was a world-class long jumper, a star football player in school. In 1982, Vance was the NCAA champion, as well as winning the gold medal at the Junior Pan American Games. He went on to be a second-round pick by the Denver Broncos in 1985, spent 11 seasons with the Broncos, played in 3 Super Bowls with John Elway. They didn't win any of them. He was part of the 3 Amigos along with Ricky Nateel and Mark Jackson. His story is one of overcoming addiction, abusive behavior, and just so much turmoil, but it's really an incredible testament to how our faith in Christ can transform us, can renew our minds, as we've been talking about all day on this show. And I had a chance to interview Vance on Radio Row at the Super Bowl. Here is that interview. I want to welcome to Faith on the Field show one of the 3 Amigos. He used to play for the Denver Broncos, Vance Johnson, one of my favorite wide receivers to watch back in the day. Brother. But more importantly, who you are is a brother in Christ, and what you're doing, sharing your powerful story of domestic violence, addiction, and redemption, and it really took you reclaiming your faith. Can you tell us that story and how it unfolded in your journey?
Absolutely. You know, being from Trenton, New Jersey, my father actually was a gangbanger, ran the streets, and then when he got stationed in Fort Huachuca, Arizona, because he was either going to get killed or he had a choice to join the service or go to prison, he ended up going out and meeting a young lady, a young 15-year-old. Well, he talked her into marrying him and came back to Jersey. And 9 months later, I was born right there in Trenton. Wow. The only thing is my father kind of went back to his old ways after getting out of the service. And then he started abusing my mother. And my mom decided to go to Arizona. And we went back and forth for a couple years with my father. And my sister was born. And after a while, you know, my sister and I started to kind of see what was happening in the house, the dynamics. And we saw my mother really being abused quite a bit. We saw my father coming home drunk and smelling like weed, and I'm sure he was taking pills back in the day.
Wow.
And so there was a lot of mental illness, I would say now, that me and my sister were suffering with from the things that we saw as children. So what was my escape? Sports. And so when I started to run, I started to notice how I played this role in the house now. I became this hero. And even though I didn't want to be like my father, I didn't want to do anything that my father did, he stopped being so aggressive with my mother whenever he saw that I was winning these races and making touchdowns. So literally, I disappeared in my own head and made sports my life.
Wow. And being that your father didn't have that influence over you, the positive type of influence, how did that lead? What road did you travel?
Interesting enough, what I would do is I'd see my mother always crying and praying out to God, going to church 4 or 5 times a week. And a dad would come home late at night having the time of his life and lipstick on his collar. So as the time went on and I had a chance to go through my life in sports, I ended up going and playing in the Pan American Games, won the gold medal. I went to college to beat Carl Lewis in the long jump and went on to be on the Olympic team as an alternate for the United States in the long jump. And then I had a choice to either go to NFL or go to 88 Olympics. I chose to go into the draft, and I was drafted second pick, second round by the Denver Broncos. And by this time, brother, I hadn't really touched any drugs or alcohol. I did make a couple mistakes late in my life and had a couple children that I abandoned literally when I went to the NFL. And then I was just off to the races. It was all about trying to cope with life because for some reason, just because I was going to the Super Bowl and I was successful and wealthy, it wasn't filling the hole. And listen, I was married 8 times, man. Let's just cut to the chase.
Wow.
I was married 8 total times, several times even during my career. And my life was about coping and trying to recreate something that I couldn't see when I was a child.
When you continue to go down that path and go down that road, and then ultimately, what led you to that salvation moment, that moment where this is, I got to stop, I got to change my life, I got to take a different road, and there is an answer. See, a lot of times we get so caught up in who we are, how much money we're making, living that life and living that lifestyle, and for me it happened early in my career in journalism and in sports and everything else, and I finally reached that point where like I couldn't do it on my own.
Yeah,
and I cried out to the Lord. When did you make that decision?
You said the key word, cry out to the Lord. After I lost everything, man, and moved to the Western Slope of Colorado, I had an older son that came out to spend time with me, and he ended up actually trying to reach out to me because he had broken the engine in his car, so he couldn't find me, he couldn't reach me, so he took his motorcycle. He got killed the very same night on his motorcycle.
Oh my goodness!
So Wow. When I got that call in the morning, my way to coping was pills and alcohol. And I literally used myself into that coma for 28 days. I laid there in a coma. When I woke up, I started seeing these shadows walking into the bedroom. And I started to know that there was another side of this world than what we lived in. And after I got out of that, man, I started driving through this canyon because I couldn't stop drinking still.
Wow.
And I was crying out, man. I was literally screaming out to God in this canyon. And, brother, I started speaking in tongues. And the I didn't Holy even believe Spirit. In speaking in tongues. But for some reason, these words that were coming out of my mouth wasn't the words that were in my head.
Yeah.
Well, I heard the Spirit tell me that I needed to go away. And so a couple, 2 or 3 months later, that guy just gave me a kiss, Randy Grimes.
Randy Grimes.
Talked me into coming to treatment. And I knew that God wanted me to get away from my world. And so when I went there for 28 days, all I did was get on my knees, pray to God, study the Bible, learn about addiction, and I understood my whole calling. The whole reason why I went to 3 Super Bowls, the whole reason why I had a mighty fall was so that I could do a work for my my Lord and Savior, Christ Jesus, and go out there and share the hope in Christ, because the spirit of addiction is destroying our country, even mental illness.
Amen, amen. Jesus says in Matthew 5:13, you are the salt of the earth, you are the light of the world. Keep shining that light.
Yeah,
keep
brother.
Being that salt, brother. One more thing before I let you go. Now, you have a book called Uncovered Why Becoming Less is Became Everything. So it's a Christian-based book, Uncovered Why Becoming Less Became Everything. I know John 3:30 speaks about, I must decrease so he must increase.
That's what that's based off of, man.
Absolutely. Tell me about that.
What I found myself doing this is losing everything and becoming $1 million in debt, destroying so many people's lives that the only way I was going to be free was just to give my life completely to the Lord. Well, I'm not a lover of the world anymore, man. There's nothing with the lust of the eyes that's going to fill this hole that I had inside. Yeah. And when I turned back towards Christ, because he was always turned towards me, when I gave my spirit over to him and he walks in me now, I know there is nothing more than to walk in Christ and show people, listen, there's a way out of this hell. Because to be a lover of the world is enmity with God, man. And unless you really study and know the scripture and not the religion that you learned when you were a child, because that turned people away from God, but literally seek that relationship with Christ alone so that you can be free too. And that's what I'm all about. And he will free you by the renewing of that mind, man. That's what it's all about, brother.
Amen. That is Vance Johnson. You were one of the 3 amigos, really the 3 that matters, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
Amen, brother. Can I tell people how to reach out to me?
Yes, sir.
Hey, www.vancecares.com is where you can go if you need help with mental illness or addiction. And I'm also available to travel around the country and speak on behalf of the Lord and show people a way out of this hell.
Amen. Thank you, Vance. Appreciate your time.
God bless you.
That was Vance Johnson, former NFL receiver. Such a powerful, powerful story. And we're going to talk about that interview next on Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Cairn University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Cairn is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Cairn is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at cairn.edu/visit.
And we're back on Faith on the Field Show, presented by Cairn University. Rob Motti, Pastor Kyle, Doug, and Remy. We just heard Vance Johnson's powerful testimony. He learned to crack that code when he surrendered completely to the Lord. And one of the quotes that he had in that interview, he said, the only way I was going to be free was to give my life completely to the Lord. I'm not a lover of the world anymore. There's nothing that is going to fill this hole inside. When I turned my back toward Christ, because he was always turned toward me. When I turned back toward Christ, because he was always turned toward me. And that's so, I love that, because Christ is turned toward us, but we're not, sometimes we're not turned and looking at him. And when he went back toward Christ and gave his spirit over to him, and I know his spirit now walks in me, I know there's nothing more than to walk with the Lord and show people there is a way out of this hell. So whatever it is that you're living through, whatever hell that you're going through, whether it's addiction or an abusive past or an abusive relationship or any kind of struggles that you're going through like Vance did, or you could be on top of that mountain like he was at one point in his life when he was going to the Super Bowls And he was a star receiver for the Denver Broncos. And back then, you look at the stats, right? You look at the nowadays, they're catching 90-100 passes
right, exactly.
every year. Back then, he had a 1,000-yard season. That's a big deal. So no matter what, you're feeling that hole, that unfulfillment. Christ is the one who's going to answer that. He's the one who's going to fill that void. And you're not going to love the things of the world anymore if you truly are transformed. There's just so much power in what he was saying there, Pastor Kyle.
One of the things that hit me so powerfully, and I used to love, I watched him play. I loved the Three Amigos. They were amazing. Yeah. I mean, they were so stinking fast, right?
Yeah,
and
there was a fun bunch with
the fun bunch with the Redskins. And you watch these guys just explode. And that's back in the day when you could actually hit guys down the field, right? Now you can't touch them, right? But
not that you're bitter about
it. No, I'm not bitter at all. my stats would have been much better now. What hit me was, he talked about, in an interview I watched with him, about after the Super Bowl, he goes home from the Super Bowl, and he's just had played in the biggest game on the biggest desire of his entire life. He's making millions of dollars. Everybody knows who he is. He gets in a closet, takes Xanax pills, and drinks alcohol, right, and tries to kill himself.
Yeah.
And he said, I've tried to kill myself 3 times in the NFL. And we're thinking, how is that possible? You've reached everything you wanted, because at the end of all of this, Rob, he talked about, I grew up in hell. And the environment we grow up in certainly affects the way that we see life.
No doubt.
Then he created a hell for himself by trying to self-soothe outside of the only thing that could actually bring healing. Yeah. And we try to self-soothe all the time. Back when you were little kids, you had that, the big board, and it had square holes and round pegs, and you try to put a round peg in a square hole. It doesn't work.
By the way,
we try to do that.
Yeah.
You know, you said something very powerful. Here's the bottom line. Jesus in Revelation 3:20, behold, I stand at the door of your heart and I knock. I'm knocking. If you open up the door, I'll come in. Okay. There's nothing. God doesn't want anything between us. So the only answer, it's not if I open my life up to more sexual encounters. He had 7 marriages, right? He's on his 8th now, right?
Yeah.
7 divorces, and he just said, I met a girl, and then I was like, hey, I guess we'll get married. It was empty, 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 drugs, empty, 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 alcohol, empty, 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 success, empty, empty, empty. But then when he finally got around to it, the thing that was knocking that needed to come in was not fame or fortune. It wasn't drugs or alcohol relationships. It really was Jesus. Yeah. And that's the round hole. That's the round peg for that round hole.
Even when he was a kid, he said, I started to try and find athletics. Right? Like, I found sports, and
to make his dad not beat him or beat his mom. Dad,
Right, and so that was fulfilling him. We talk about what you learn as a kid. Potentially that led him to, well, if athletics can fill that void, then how about drugs and alcohol and women and everything else?
That's such an incredible reminder to all parents out there. How you're like, what your kids see in the home, what's influencing them, how you're raising them, that sticks with them. Like, if he's going and I don't know what the numbers are of men who are in a home and see their dads abuse their moms, and how many go on to do that, because Vance actually, and he didn't say in our interview, but he's done it in other interviews. He went on Oprah in 1996 talking about
killed his wife by hitting her.
Yeah, there was the one where like his one of the ex-wives had cheated on him with teammates,
yes,
and he thought he could justify it because, oh, my mom didn't deserve it, but she did me wrong, and she deserved it. But he was in that environment growing up. But he has used his story now to reach out to so many people, and it's an incredible, incredible thing. But he had to be transformed. The old Vance had to die. He had to be renewed, and he was renewed through Christ, but he wanted to change the way he thinks. He wanted to change the way he is. He wanted to change his actions, and he's now filled, walking with that spirit. Another part of this story that he talks about, and we don't have too much time to discuss it, but he's like, the religion you learn as a kid turns people away from God. I think you can definitely attest to that, right?
Yeah,
the religion that you grew up in kind of like had you live in fear of God.
Yeah, I said it before, I grew up in a Protestant church, so I grew up with religion, and like, just follow this, come back to God, because if not, you're gonna die in hell.
Yep.
And you're like, okay, great, I'm gonna go hide now. So that is definitely, There's so much in his testimony that there I can relate to, but I'm just going to keep it to this one. The religion part is definitely something that takes you away from God. But the thing is, Jesus runs after you.
Absolutely right.
And when he runs after you, you really can't hide for too long.
Yep.
So I found him because he ran after me. And because I don't want to say that church completely turned me off. I want to say that it stuck with me.
Correct.
It stuck with me.
Yeah. Yeah.
I hated the whole part about, you know, come back or you're going to die in hell.
Yeah, the guilt and shame.
I hated that part. Yeah. But in the back of my mind, I'm like, but I know there is more to that.
Absolutely.
I know there is more to this. So I have to actually go back and check it out for myself. And I did. And when I did, I found the most amazing loving God that there is to find.
The goodness of God leads us to repentance. The goodness of God. It's the thing that we can so easily forget, even as parents.
Yeah.
You know, it's the goodness of God. It's the grace of God that draws people in. And, you know, Doug, you said something powerful when, you know, the Bible says if you raise up a child in the way that they should go, or therefore shouldn't go, when they get older, they won't depart from it.
Yeah.
And that's why it's not just, Rob, you know, it's not just us not doing things in our home. Right. Not hitting our wives or our husband, not arguing loudly in front of our kids. It's actually being purposed to plant something good in our children.
Oh, yeah.
So it's a lot of times we're like, well, I didn't do this. I was a good parent.
Yeah,
I didn't do the bad stuff. Right. Exactly.
But what did you sow?
Exactly right.
Yeah. How did you? We could talk about religion and how that influences people and for an entire episode. And we have done that before in the past, but we're out of time. I want to thank our listeners, our followers, everyone who tunes in, shares this show. Thank you so much. Big thanks to our guest today, Vance Johnson. Huge thank you to Pastor Scott Foreman for the excellent work he does on our website, our podcast, our blog, all that he does to make us present a whole lot better. Jim Henderson does a tremendous job for us working behind the scenes. Thanks to Brett Kronberger and Ryan Lennox for producing the show. Thank you to all of our sponsors who make this happen. 610 ESPN Philly, 107.5 Alive, and Joy FM Sports for airing Faith on the Field, presented by Karen University. For Kyle, Doug, and Remy, I'm Rob Motti, reminding you, make a difference, be a blessing.
Located in Langhorne, Pennsylvania, just 25 minutes from Philadelphia, Karen University is the right place for students to get a dynamic experience centered on Christ and His Word. Students are equipped professionally, personally, and spiritually, and make an impact on the local community and surrounding cities. Karen is close to everything that matters for future educators, pastors, social workers, entrepreneurs, musicians, and more. See if Karen is the right place for you. Schedule a visit today at karen.edu/visit.